Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll stick with us here this afternoon, and glad to have you listening. And it is cold out there right now. I got outside this morning, and it was cold. I went outside last night, it was getting cold. And I went outside this afternoon, it was still cold. And it was 14 degrees when I got out of my car here at the studios. So if you're out and about, not a problem with the snow. It's just that there's a few spots on the roadways where you're going to hit some patchy ice and stuff. So just be aware of that if you're out traveling on the roadways this afternoon, especially in some shaded areas and all. Because when it gets significantly cold, the ice doesn't always work as well. So some of those areas where the snow melted, the ice melted a little bit, and it starts to freeze again. Just be aware of that as you're out traveling about. But as I said, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you here this afternoon, and good to listen to Pastor Lutz before. Hope you'll stay tuned for Pastor Risnacko coming up at 2 o'clock. But in the meantime, I wanted to share a couple of things with you, some thoughts about some things that are happening. And you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And while you're there, you can not only learn a little bit about me, but you can also link to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I pastor out in Richfield, Ohio. Invite you to visit us there. You can come tonight if you're not doing anything tonight. We have a Bible study at 7 o'clock tonight. It's an informal Bible study. You bring the questions, and we talk about the Bible. We talk about current events in light of God's Word, much like we do here on the radio program. And we'll be there at 7 o'clock tonight, and love to see you out there. If you're not doing anything tonight, you have opportunity, come bring your questions, and we'll enjoy some fellowship, and we have refreshments and all, and we'll delve into what the Bible has to say. And then, of course, we're there on Sunday, and we're there every Sunday we have our morning service at 11. Currently, I'm preaching through the Gospel of John, and then on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock, I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs. And so you can find out all that information here in a little bit, or just go to livewithpastoral.com. We'll have more information at the end of the program. You can also listen to a variety of articles and things that I've written. You can listen to past programs. You can listen to our Sunday night programs. We're here on AM 1220 every Sunday night from 10 o'clock until midnight, a whole 2 hours. And I know a lot of people don't stay up all the time, all the way till midnight on Sunday nights listening, but you can listen to those programs as well at livewithpastoral.com. Well, let's go ahead and open our program today with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity we've had to be on the air once more. We thank you for the opportunities you give us to serve you and to be a witness, to be a testimony for you. Lord, just pray that you would just bless the program this afternoon. Help us to lift up and glorify Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And help us, Lord, to point people that are searching to Christ as well. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this past week, I had an opportunity to go down to Columbus, Ohio. On Tuesday was Governor DeWine's State of the State address to combined session of the Ohio House and Ohio Senate, combined one large general assembly there. And special thanks to Representative Bill Romer, who represents our area there in Summit County, as well as other areas. But he has enabled me to get a floor pass so that I could be down in Columbus and to actually be there during the governor's address and to be able to listen to it firsthand. I also went down with Chris Long, president of Ohio Christian Alliance, and we may have him on hopefully on the program today. If not, we'll continue on with some other things. But We went down there, also met with Pastor John Coates. He joined, he met us down there as well. And we were able to be in there on the floor. What a floor pass is when the governor gives his address. Of course, you know, they use the House facility, chambers, because it's larger than the Senate chambers. And so you, the House and the House representatives and the senators all gathered in there. And there's the area where their seats are, their desks are located. That's where they're sitting. And then you have an area around there where a lot of people stand around, has some benches and a few seats, but mostly standing and around outside the little low wall that separates that area from where the representatives normally sit. And then, of course, there's the gallery up above where there's some seating, and you can look down and observe the proceedings in the chamber. So it's kind of nice to be able to sit or to be able to stand on the House floor right there on the edge of the wall during the governor's State of the State. And one of the reasons that I was glad to be able to go down is because as Christians, we need to know what's going on in our communities. We need to know what's going on in our state. We need to know what's going on in our nation. And this is one of the ways that we can do it. I was talking with somebody recently, and we were talking about how it's hard, really, you know, a lot of times to know what to pay attention to, what to do, what to be involved in. But the idea, everybody can do something. Everybody can be involved in something. And it brought to mind a passage in 1 Chronicles. In 1 Chronicles, the Bible is recounting several things about the various tribes of Israel here. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, if you look there, in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, starting verse 23, it says, "And these are the numbers of the bands that were ready armed to war, and came to David to Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. The children of Judah bear shield and spear were 6,800 ready armed to the war. Of the children of Simeon, mighty men of valor for the war, 7,100. Of the children of Levi, 4,600. And it goes through the various tribes here. And as it gets down through some of the tribes, it begins not just giving the numbers here after we read of the children of Levi, 4,600, that begins to identify some characteristics of some of the men and of some of the notable people in the tribes of Israel. It says in verse 27, "And Jehoiada was the leader of the Aaronites." And these are, of course, in the tribe of Levi, and Aaron being Moses' brother. So he'd be descendants of Aaron, and with him were 3,700, and Zadok, a young man, mighty of valor, and of his father's house, 22 captains. Then he says in verse 29, "Of the children of Benjamin, the kindred of Saul, 3,000, for hitherto the greatest part of them had kept the ward of the house of Saul." And of course, that makes sense because Saul, as Israel's first king, was of the tribe of Benjamin. And then in verse number 30 says, "And of the tribe of Ephraim, 20,800 mighty men of valor, famous throughout the house of their fathers." And this is one of the characteristics of Ephraim, mighty men of valor, famous throughout the house of their fathers. Verse 31, "Of the half tribe of Manasseh, 18,000, which were expressed by name to come and make David king." And this is one of their purposes. They joined in. They were there to support David as the new king. And then it says in verse 32, this is an interesting statement, and I've always liked this passage. One time, long time ago, I was asked to preach on this at a pastor's conference, and on this particular verse in 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32, it says, "And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment." Now, we don't have the exact number of the armed men of war from Issachar, but we know that they had 200 numbering the heads of them. These would be the leaders. But look at the characteristic of the children of Issachar, men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. I believe that God does raise up people to help us to understand what is going on and to give good advice what God's people ought to be doing, how we ought to be reacting to the world around us. And sometimes I feel, you know, with my ministry talking about current events in light of God's word, sometimes I feel like I'm in kind of an Issachar type ministry. I pray that God helps me understand what's going on, and then that God can help me not only through that understanding of what's happening, to be able to share with our church and with others as I have opportunity, what we ought to do in relation to what's happening in the world around us. And this is one of the things that I have been concerned about in recent times, and it's the lack of interest or the lack of maybe I shouldn't say interest in some cases. In some cases, it is a lack of interest, but maybe it's just the lack of involvement, maybe that I should say, that God's people often have in the political realm around us. We want to say, oh, politics is too worldly. I've actually had people say, well, it doesn't matter what you do, the fix is in. And other people said, well, God's going to do what he wants. There's no reason for us to even bother voting, which to me is rather a silly and naive approach. I mean, I'd much rather respect the person that says, don't bother voting, the fix is in, than the person that says, oh, it doesn't matter if you vote or not, God's going to do what he wants to do, so you don't need to bother voting. That is so naive. God says that we're to be salt and light in the world. God chooses to work through us. If God is going to change the vote, if God is going to affect who's elected and who is not elected, sure, God could just say the word, and that's what happened. The Bible says he raises up kings and puts them down, and sure, but you know what? I happen to believe that the way God does that is he uses people to do that. And we saw that with Donald Trump when he ran for office, when he became the president. It was a surge of Christians that got out in prayer in capitals of each of the 50 states. It's a surge of Christians that prayed for this country. It was a surge of Christians that not only prayed, but they got up off their knees and they went out and they voted. And it made a difference. See, God uses you and he uses me to accomplish his will in the world. To take the naive approach, it doesn't make any difference. God's going to do what he wants to do, so you don't have to bother voting. That is so, as I said, so naive, so ridiculous, because God chooses to use us. Remember when Jesus fed the multitudes with a few loaves and fishes? Why didn't Jesus just wave his hand and say, be ye filled? And everybody would have been full. I mean, he could have done it. He was God manifest in the flesh. It was well within his power to do that, but Jesus didn't do that, did he? What he did, instead, he told the disciples, go look around, see what you can find. And they found a little boy that had some loaves and fishes. And they said, now make everybody sit down and by their families and everything. They got everybody sat down, got everything organized. And then Jesus took the loaves and fishes, he prayed over them, he blessed them, and then he began to break the loaves and the fishes and distribute them to his disciples, and the disciples then took them out to the people. The people received them, and they and the men, the women, the children were all fed. And they had there was two instances where this happened, and baskets of loaves and fishes were left over. Why didn't Jesus say, "Just be ye filled and be done with it"? No, see, God expects us to do things. It's just like he said, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Preaching by taking fallible men and having us accomplish the work of proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming what the word of God has to say. God doesn't just wave a magic wand and make all of us believe or not believe. He asked us to proclaim the message. He told the disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so God uses his people to accomplish his work in the world. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible talks about how the mystery of iniquity is already working in the world, but it's being restrained, it's being held back. And the way that it's being held back, obviously, is the Spirit of God is restraining it. But how does he do it? He works through you. He works through me as his children, as his servants. He works through us as we're salt and light in the world. And one of the ways that we saw the restraining of the mystery of iniquity, let's face it, when Joe Biden was vice president, when Barack Obama was president, they were working as fast as they could to, as Obama said, the one thing he was honest about, his goal was to fundamentally transform America. And he was doing that. And in the 8 years that he was there, he accomplished much, but he had a lot to go. And I believe that they thought and anticipated that Hillary Clinton would just ease right into office, and that she would accomplish and wrap up the work that Obama had begun, and this country would have been merged into the global New World Order, and their plans for global government, rise of a global currency economy, rise of a global government and a global leader, rise of a global religious system, all of that would have advanced but for God working through his people being salt and light in the world, going out, praying, voting, becoming active in the political scene, and the spirit of iniquity, the mystery of iniquity, I should say, was restrained, and God gave us a reprieve. And we saw events transpire that set back the globalist agenda for a time. You know, I look at it, it's like the tide is coming in. We know what's coming. We know, according to the Word of God, that one day that the tribulation period will begin. There'll be a world leader, and he is known in the Bible as the Antichrist or as the Beast, and he will come to power. He'll confirm a covenant, according to Daniel chapter 9, with Israel, the Jewish people. Presumably, it'll bring peace to the Middle East, or appear to be. It'll be a 7-year covenant, and the tribulation period will begin. And it'll be a period where they'll attempt to institute a global government, global economic system, global religious system, all of this that they're trying to do right now. The World Economic Forum that met a couple weeks ago in Davos, Switzerland, they're optimistic that the time is close that they'll be able to accomplish these things, but for the fact that the mystery of iniquity is being restrained, and that's because God is still working through his people. And I believe that God raises up people today, just like he did in with the children of Issachar, that have understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, to know what God's people ought to do. And so as I observe these things, and I have opportunity to go down to the State House, and I've had opportunity in past to give testimony on various bills at the Ohio House or the Ohio Senate committee meetings. I've even had opportunity in the past to address the Ohio Board of Education, State Board of Education. And it's not that I so much look for these opportunities, but they just seem to come up every once in a while, and I get an invitation, and somebody encourages me to. And these are opportunities where I've got a chance to go down and personally face-to-face speak with these people. Now, other times I send an email or a contact or try to contact them by phone or something, which any of us can do. And doing this, try to be aware of what's happening in the government, because it directly affects us as believers. As I've been saying repeatedly, it seems like this year, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, there in the first two verses, Paul reminds us that we're to be praying for all those that are in authority, for kings and rulers and all that are in authority. And, you know, that includes, you know, your governor, your state senator, your state representative, your county officials, your local mayor, trustees, council members, whoever you have at the local level. And of course, it includes your state or your U.S. representatives, senators, and president, and all those, the Supreme Court, and all these that are in authority over us. And as he says there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in fact, he starts that by saying, I exhort, therefore. Exhort is a little more emphatic than just asking. He's exhorting. And he says that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I am glad that I was able to go down to the State House and firsthand see that what was happening, because we have this soft coup that took place down there where we had elected a supermajority of conservatives in the Ohio House that were poised to introduce and pass legislation that, by all accounts, the Senate likely would be ready to receive and to pass and agree to send to a governor who had agreed in principle to assign some of these bills should they come to his desk. And these are pro-life bills. These are bills that would protect women. And there was just a case, I think it was down near Xenia somewhere, where a 30-some-year-old man was in the YMCA locker room, in the girls' locker room, in the shower with no clothes on when young girls came in, minor girls came in. And when the complaint was made, they were told they had to deal with it because he had the right to be there. And this is happening over and over. And we had legislation that was ready to go in the Ohio House to help protect women from walking in and young girls from walking into these locker rooms, and not just in public facilities like the YMCA or something, but also in their own schools, in the colleges, in the high schools, even in the junior high and grade schools, where girls are walking in and finding biological males in their restrooms. And the Ohio had legislation ready to go. But this rebellion that we saw, or I shouldn't say rebellion, this betrayal that we saw, where 22 Republicans rebelled and a traitorous action, sided with every single one of the Democrats, the Democrat House members, and elected a Speaker of the House that nobody thought would be elected, a Speaker of the House that apparently has sold himself out for 30 pieces of silver to the Democrats. And so the Democrats, who were in the minority, and a small minority at that, are now laughing and mocking the supermajority of conservative Republicans that can't accomplish anything now because they co-opted the Speaker's seat. And Speaker Stevens has already let it be known that pro-life legislation is dead. The resolution to change the amendment process to the Ohio Constitution to a 60% majority vote, appears to be dead as well. We certainly missed the time frame to have it on the ballot in May so that it can protect us from NARAL and Planned Parenthood's attempt to codify Roe and abortion into the Ohio Constitution through a constitutional amendment, possibly this November, maybe next November. And so I'm thankful for the pastors and Christians who get out and go to these things and find out what's happening to better inform you what you need to pray about, and pray for our nation, pray for our state, pray for your community, and most of all, pray that God will use you in the capacity that He wants you. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.